Well, I'm excited to kick off our Easter series today, speaking about Jesus. How beautiful is this board, by the way? It took a long time to make. You can ask Sarah and Maddie. They spent a lot of time painting it. But it's great that this is the central focus of our Easter, that we remember Jesus. So we're going to talk about a story today, a story of faith and of wonder. And it's the one of Peter walking on waters. So Jesus had just finished feeding thousands of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And it's getting late. It's been a long day. And so he sends the disciples ahead of him, and he goes to the mountainside. So I'll just read the reading to you quickly. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Peter replied, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So I want to ask you a question this morning. I'm a question girl. Are there any extroverts in the room? Give me a wave if you're extroverted. Not many? Any introverts? You need time by yourself to recharge? How about a 50-50? Yeah? In between, Margaret says in between. That's good. I wonder if Jesus was more introverted or extroverted. I'm not sure, obviously. I'll ask him when I get to heaven, hopefully. But the point is, he had to recharge. After this whole day of feeding thousands, of performing miracles, he had to rest. And he needed to be with his Father. And so he goes up to the mountainside where he can be filled up and refreshed. And so today I'm going to get straight into it, and I want to tell you about 3 things that we can do when the storm hits. And my first point is head to the mountainside. What do I mean by that? I mean spend time with Jesus. Let it be your foundation, your go-to, your hiding place, the place where you recharge, and let his peace take over. Change your thoughts and change your mind. Let God be the place you run to in all circumstances, whether downcast, whether overwhelmed, whether assured or confident, head to the mountainside. Be with him. There's nothing like sitting at his feet and letting him restore and refresh you. And I can't stress that enough. And you might have heard me say this before, because I always emphasize the fact that spending time with Jesus is the foundation of our faith. This is where it starts. Well, on Thursday night, I came to the core because we had a leadership meeting. And I arrived and we went into the room that's going to be rented over there by the cafe. And Sarah and Maddie were there painting this beautiful board. And when I arrived, they had done everything except for the word light of the world, except for this bit. And Sarah gave me a brush and I started painting, and I got on my knees to do it. And then I told Sarah, "Oh, people are gonna think that I've been here painting for hours when I only did the one word, you know?" Anyway, the story goes on, and the leadership team arrives, and Margaret Robinson walks into the room, and I'm there on my knees, and she said, "It's good to see you on your knees." And I thought that was funny. I hope you did too. So I've been thinking about this, and I've been pondering, how much do I actually get on my knees before God? Do I surrender? Do I give him my all? How often do I go to him? Is he where I run to when I'm tired, when I'm overwhelmed, when I'm stressed, or even when I'm doing well? And I think it's so much easier to go to other things to try and recharge, get home and watch a movie or do a Sudoku or something like that, or read a book. But quality time with God changes everything. His name changes everything. So decide today to make heading to the mountainside your priority, the first thing you do. In the words of Psalm 31, verse 5, in the Message paraphrase, it says, "You're my cave to hide in, my cliff to climb. Be my safe leader, be my true mountain guide. Free me from hidden traps. I want to hide in you. I've put my life in your hands. You won't drop me. You will never let me down. You're my cave to hide in, my cliff to climb, my safe leader, my true mountain guide." But as we know, the story doesn't end up with just Jesus heading to the mountainside. No, a storm hits as the disciples got on the boat. And they're confronted with wind and waves getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Spending time with Jesus and heading to the mountainside can be hard when we're faced with a storm. And I can only imagine what it must have been like for the disciples being on a boat in the middle of the night with raging waves, and probably I can imagine clouds and thunder and all of that sort of stuff. And then they see this figure appear. And on top of that, this figure is walking towards them. That would have been pretty frightening, I imagine. But Jesus says to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." So three things that we can do when the storm hits. First of all, we head to the mountainside, but then we take courage. When our circumstances aren't looking so good, when we're distressed, when we're afraid, when there's a storm, Jesus is here, walking towards you, and he's saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter's replies is really interesting, and I think one of faith. He says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus replied, "Come." Peter had faith that he could meet Jesus on the water. He believed that if truly Jesus was there, he would be able to join him. But on his way to Jesus, he hesitates. He doubts. He loses sight of Jesus. And so he starts to sink because he took his gaze off Jesus. And he started to focus on the waves, the storm around him. His faith wavered when he realized what he was doing. And this made me think of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, a well-known verse, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." When Peter started to walk by sight, he lost his faith. When we start to look at what's around, the challenges, the hardship, the things that are not going quite as planned, we can so easily lose sight of Jesus, and we can start to doubt. How will I make it to the other side? How will I overcome? How will I have the strength? How will I get on top of my bills? How will I trust again? And maybe, like Peter, you had faith at the start, but perhaps you've lost that initial faith. Because you see, it wasn't really about this first act of faith. It was about sustaining faith in the midst of the storm. The strength of our faith isn't always best measured by the moves we make, but how steadfast we remain in the midst of the storm. A lot of the times we have starting power, but real faith is marked by staying power. Staying power is what fuels us to put one foot in front of the other when things aren't going quite as planned. And what if the storm, the circumstance around you, is the very element that God wants to use to strengthen both your faith and your story? So you might be asking, so how do we do this, Jane? How do we walk on waters? It's quite simple, actually. Gaze on Jesus, and one step at a time, and we keep walking, looking at him, confident that he will carry us through. So this is my third point. Cry out, Hosanna. And I'll come back to that word, Hosanna, in a second. Because the truth is, our reality can sometimes be overwhelming. And you would know that, because a lot of you in the room have had a lot more experience than I have. And you've gone through challenges, and you've faced many storms. The truth is, it costs to trust God, to walk on waters. And the truth is, we often fail, and we rely on our own strength. We often let our circumstances distract us, and we take our gaze off Jesus. Peter doubted. He was human too. But as he doubted, he reached out to Christ, the only one who could help him, the only one who could save him. He was afraid, but he still looked to Christ, and he said, Lord, save me. And sometimes that's all we have left to say. Lord, save me. Help me. Jesus, I need you. A couple of weeks ago, I texted my godmother asking her to pray for me as I was feeling really homesick and discouraged and overwhelmed. And she replied to me with a photo that's going to come up on the screen. And this is my godfather. And she told me this: when we walk in the midst of a storm or foggy skies, we cannot see, and sometimes it seems to never end. But we continue to walk up the mountain, one step at a time. We continue to walk. We continue to walk and to trust Jesus, and suddenly, we get to higher places. And beautiful views await us. There is always hope. There is always one eager to rescue and to save. And like that spoken word said at the beginning, there is something about his name. And this is the story of Palm Sunday. Jesus enters Jerusalem. And the people recognize who he is, and they sing this well-known song from Psalm 118. Save us, we pray, O Lord. We pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the word that they use when they cry out is Hosanna, save us. And I knew this word as this praise word. But in reality, it first meant save us. It was a cry for help, a cry of desperation. So as Jesus walks into Jerusalem, the people say, I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. They recognize that God had answered their cry for help. And I wonder how Peter would have felt hearing those words when himself had cried, Lord, save me. This Hosanna word was about a cry for help turning into a song of praise, a plea turning to shouts of exclamation and worship, from a cry to confidence. Because the Son of David has come, and he has saved us, and he's entering Jerusalem triumphant. Hosanna in the highest. And in our story of Peter walking on waters, it's the same thing. They go back onto the boat and the disciples say, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And it is said that they worshiped him. They recognized that the Savior had come and that he was the Messiah. He is here and he is eager to help and he's ready to save. And all we have to say is, "Hosanna, Lord, help me, save me, come."